If you could take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which I know some of you are using. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of that city. Then they shall take him into the city and give him a place. And he shall remain there with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hit him in the past. And he shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at that time. Then the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled." So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, and beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness on the tableland, from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities designated for all the people of Israel, and for the strangers sojourning among them, that anyone who killed a person without intent could flee there, so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. May God bless these words to us. I guess crime novels have always been popular. It may be that after church tonight, you rush home to watch the new Agatha Christie's Poirot on television. I was reading a review of some crime novels in the magazine Standpoint this week, and the reviewer took several different crime novels that have recently been published and reviewed them all together. And as he did so, he opened his review by making just a few comments on how much we like crime novels. He says this: "Murder is one of the favourite subjects of popular fiction. Popularity does not entail poor quality, however. Precisely because of the demands of the genre, crime fiction in particular is often very well written. Much better written, in fact, than much self-consciously literary novels. Intellectuals are therefore by no means ashamed to acknowledge that they love the literature of murder and homicide. Bertrand Russell, for example, read one crime novel a day for long periods of his life. We all like crime novels. There's something fascinating about the story of the accused and the evidence and finding out exactly who did it. One of the set pieces of a crime novel that often recurs is the idea of the accused person. The person who has done something terrible and is caught up in events beyond their control, and they have to go on the run. And there's the sense of panic, of haste, of urgency, as the star of the novel runs for their life. Well, Joshua 20, the chapter of the Bible that was read there, it's like the setting of a great crime novel like that. This is the backdrop for how the story would play out if a person was caught up in the terrible events of accidentally killing somebody. And as we read the background to the setting for that sort of situation in the Bible, we begin to find that God is the kind of God who longs to bring peace and refuge into those terrible situations of panic and guilt and desperation and disaster. We find that God is a God of refuge. Have a look with me at Joshua 20, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Joshua, "Say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood." Calvin, in his comments on this, suggests that the people of Israel have been very lazy. They haven't bothered to set up these cities of refuge. They were told to do so in the law, but they haven't actually got round to doing it. Though God has given them the land and they're organizing it and taking control of it, the idea of appointing cities of refuge has not been very high up their priority list. And so I think Calvin is perhaps right to just draw attention to the fact that God cares about the person's refuge and cares about that much more than even the people of Israel do, which is remarkable. But what exactly is going on here? Well, the thing is that in the Old Testament law, a murderer, somebody who commits murder purposefully and intentionally, they plan to do it, they deserve death as the right, just punishment. And that happens at the hands of somebody called an avenger, which seems to be somebody who was close to the person who'd been murdered. So if somebody murders my wife, and that'll be a terrible thing, by the way, then I would be the avenger, the person most closely affected, most angry, wanting to seek justice. You see it in Numbers chapter 35. Just flick back to that with me. Numbers 35. So Numbers 35 gives a more expanded version of the cities of refuge. Numbers 35, verse 20. So this is describing a purposeful murder. "If somebody pushes somebody else out of hatred or hurls something at them, lying in wait so that they die, or if in enmity they strike him down with their hand so that he dies, then he who struck the blow shall be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him." So under the law, a murderer deserves death, and that death can be brought by the avenger of blood, the person who is most closely affected by the murder. But of course, there's always a danger, isn't there, of somebody accidentally killing somebody, and then the person who is the avenger of blood getting really angry and furious at the death, and exacting death upon the killer, when actually it wasn't really a murder, but was an accidental death. That's a real danger, isn't it? And the Mosaic law drew attention to it. Deuteronomy 19, verse 6. You don't need to turn it up, I'll just read it. Deuteronomy 19, verse 6. "Lest the avenger of blood in hot anger pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and strike him down fatally, though the man did not deserve to die, since he had not hated his neighbor in the past. For this reason, appoint cities of refuge." You see, there is the danger of the avenger of blood jumping to the cause of justice too quick, when actually we're not dealing with murder, but just a terrible, tragic accident. And so, if you lived in Israel, and you lived under the Mosaic law, and you're at work, and you accidentally drop a large breeze block on the head of the foreman on the construction site, and he dies, and it was an accident, complete accident, then it might be very sensible for you to drop your tools and run away from the building site as fast as possible to the nearest city of refuge before the brothers of that man begin to think that you committed murder and they kill you, as they might believe is their right to do. The cities of refuge was an attempt by God to be kind. an attempt to bring a certain element of generosity and care into this terrible, tragic situation of an accidental death. And the idea of six cities across Israel spread out. Again, it's just God being very kind and thoughtful, because, you know, you don't want to have a situation like this happen and be a long, long way from a city. So hopefully by spreading these six cities out across the land, there would always be one near enough for you to flee to if you are caught up in one of these terrible situations of an accidental death. So you've done it. You've fled to a city of refuge, having accidentally killed somebody. What happens then? Well, verses 4 and 5 of Joshua 20. Verse 4. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of the city. Then they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. And if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hit him in the past. So there's a hearing. There's an investigation. There's a chance for you to put your case to some impartial elders of the city. They can weigh the evidence. They can check what really happened. And meanwhile, you're safe. You won't be killed while this investigation is ongoing. And hopefully they can decide whether it was a murder or if it was a terrible, tragic accident. Think of the person in that situation, in that city of refuge. Think of their sense of relief, their sense of safety. You see, one of the big ideas that we need to get from this passage is that the refuge God provided to the person in this situation was real. It was a real refuge. You see, these cities were real. They actually existed. They were built with real stones. They had real gates. They had real locations on the map. We read on in the passage and see them describe where they were. And the geography and the details can sound a little bit distant to us, a little bit obscure and unnecessary. But it's very important that we read those verses and learn from them what we're supposed to learn. That those cities were real. They actually existed. There is a real God who provided real refuge for people in this terrible situation. The geography, the town names, we should let them impress upon us the reality of this situation. The God of the Bible was so concerned to give his people refuge that he designated cities where a person caught up in a terrible death could have refuge from an angry husband or a bereaved brother. They could shelter from that danger just as much as they could shelter from rain and wind and storms. Do you believe that there is a God who offers real refuge, real help? You know, you lose your job and you get job seeker's allowance. That small amount of money is real, concrete help in that situation. You crash your car and the insurance company gives you a courtesy car to help you drive around while you wait for your car to be repaired. The car is a real concrete help. You do something that ruins a relationship. You hurt people. You offend God. What does God do? Does he give real help? Does he actually do anything? Is his refuge and help for you in that situation as real as the job seeker's allowance, the car? The Old Testament scriptures say that when God provides refuge to people, it is as real as the gates of the city of Kadesh in Galilee, as real as the roofs of the houses in Shechem, as real as the dust on the ground outside that city of refuge, Bezer. God's refuge, when he brings it into our lives, is real. However, as we read about the refuge that God provided under the Old Testament law, in this situation to the person who has accidentally killed somebody, we find that the refuge, though it is real, is partial. So, for example, there is no refuge and no forgiveness for the murderer under the Mosaic law. These cities of refuge are only for you if you accidentally kill somebody in Israel. If you purposely kill somebody because you hate them or you want to take their money, then you are a murderer under the Old Testament law. And the Old Testament law is very clear. The right punishment for murder is death at the hand of the avenger of blood. And that is what should be applied under Old Testament law. In Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse 6, God said that murder is such a serious offense that if any man sheds the blood of another, then death is the appropriate punishment. And the Old Testament law built upon that and applied it. So the refuge is partial in the sense that there is no refuge for the murderer. But even for the person who accidentally kills somebody, what of the conscience? You know, you read this story and imagine yourself caught up in this situation. You know, okay, a terrible accident. But perhaps you were lazy. Perhaps you didn't do your job properly. And even if it was a complete pure accident, you could have done something differently. And the terrible damage to the relationships, the terrible hurt that's been caused that leads to an avenger of blood wanting justice. What of your conscience under the Old Testament law? Well, a God who cared enough about his people to insist on cities of refuge, that kind of God was not prepared to stop short of arranging a full, real refuge and safety for all people who need it. Indeed, we get some hints of that as we read that these cities of refuge weren't just for the Israelites. They were for all people. Verse 9, the cities were designated for all the people of Israel and for the strangers sojourning among them. God cared about people, not just his own people, but people who came to live amongst them. And in this passage, we do get hinted at evocatively how God would begin to bring real refuge to all people, no matter how bad the crime, murder as well as manslaughter. A refuge and a cleansing that can deal with the conscience, even for the things we've done that mess up relationships that aren't fully our fault, but they happen and it all gets ruined. A real refuge that goes way beyond what the cities of refuge offered to the accidental killer. The passage hints at it in verse 6. The person shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment, until the death of him who is high priest at that time. Till the high priest dies. And when that happens, you can leave this city of refuge and go home. If you think about it, you don't want to stay in the city of refuge all of your life. It's a long way from your own home. You've lost your family connections, your business, while you take refuge in this city, and there's the ongoing investigation. And so the scriptures say that at a certain point in time, you'll be free to go home again, and the avenger of blood will accept that they do not and they should not kill you in revenge. And the time that you can go home, the time that your life is restored to you, it's when the high priest dies. Now, modern critical scholars say that this is just a way of fixing an arbitrary length of time, that it was necessary to sort of say that at some point, you know, you've done your penance, you need to go home again, and a convenient way of fixing the time is to say, well, when the high priest dies. The earliest rabbinic Jewish scholars saw this as a way of God saying that in his eyes, in God's eyes, the high priest's death is in some way an atoning sacrifice for the killer. That the avenger of blood would understand that in some sense there had been a death, there had been some kind of justice, some kind of reparation, and so there was no need to pursue you any further. Well, the two options are hardly mutually exclusive. But I think the high priest was such an important person, such a symbolic person at the center of God's sacrificial system for Israel, that the imagery evoked by his death is unavoidable and very powerful. Imagine it. you commit a minor infraction of the Mosaic law, just a very minor thing. So you purchase a small bird or a goat, and you take it to the temple, and the priest sacrifices it before your eyes, cutting it open, letting the blood spill out across the temple floor, and destroying that animal. And you see the imagery there that animal has died. And even though you only committed a small infraction of the Mosaic law, you deserve to die, because to break any bit of God's law is a terrible crime. But you see that there's been a death. The animal has died in your place, and so you are free. You commit murder, the most serious of crimes under the Mosaic law. The law offers no sacrifice and no forgiveness. There is no hope for you under the Mosaic law. You commit the next most serious crime, accidental death. You have killed a person who bears God's image, but it wasn't murder in the purest sense. People are angry. They want you to die. You've destroyed a family. But God wants you to have refuge. And he keeps you safe until the high priest dies. And then you can have your life back. You can go home. Now, the high priest wasn't sacrificed, but he just died of natural causes. But if you were an Israelite, if you knew what that high priest represented in God's law, if you had been at the temple many times and offered those minor sacrifices for sin, the animals, if you'd seen that, and if you knew what God's high priest, what his job was and what he symbolized, could you fail to join the things together? And what if the minor sacrifice of the animal and the death of a high priest could in some way merge and join? What if a sacrifice could be offered better than the animals? What if the high priest himself became the sacrifice? Could God's forgiveness and cleansing become even more powerful? Could it extend to the murderer? Could it extend to the conscience? Could it extend to all of the things we've done this week that God is unpleased with? The Old Testament law lets us explore these situations and draws us in to the reality of what it meant for God to forgive and what it meant for God to punish sin. In Hebrews chapter 9, we read of Jesus Christ, the high priest, who was a sacrifice. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12. Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Think of that person who accidentally committed a murder, the panic, the fleeing, the running towards a city of refuge. Think of them as they see the city of refuge appear in the horizon, and they begin to get towards the gates, and they know if only they can get there, they will be at refuge. They will be safe. Well, that is how we should be, as we see Jesus Christ, our great high priest, the one who was sacrificed for sin and is today the place of refuge for all who need him. I often confess my sin to God far too briefly and far too cursory a manner. But our confession of sin should be more like the manslaughterer fleeing to the city of refuge. We should sense the panic. We should sense the desperation. We should sense the yearning to be safe. And we should know that if only we come to Jesus Christ, the high priest who died in our place, if only we come to him, we can find refuge. Refuge for the greatest of crimes and for the smallest of crimes. Maybe we should take a little bit more time to say sorry to God. Maybe we should pause a little bit more and wonder at the fact that the refuge we have in Jesus came at the cost of his blood. It is far more than just a city built for us to run to. Jesus Christ gives us refuge by means of his own blood. What of the relief? What of the joy? What of the peace that comes from knowing that in him we are safe? No matter how small your sin, you do need the refuge of Jesus. No matter how great your sin, Jesus is all the refuge you need. We don't need to run to a building or a particular city in Israel. The moment we speak to God and say, God, I thank you that in Jesus Christ you have provided a refuge for me. I thank you that he died for me. The moment we do that, we are in the city of refuge that truly does stand forever. Why don't we speak to him now about that and flee to Jesus Christ for refuge? Let's pray. Lord God, we all have done things in our lives that damage our conscience, that stand against us, even this week, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have a high priest who is a city of refuge, one who can cleanse our conscience at the deepest of levels, one who can bring safety from all of the punishment that should be ours. Lord, we come to you now and we ask that in Jesus Christ you would look on us as people who are safe, people who are in your refuge. Amen.